This morning, I want to continue on in our series, Forward Progress. We know that it is just about accepting and allowing the God to work in and through our lives, but also knowing that He works with us every single day. What that means is that no matter what season we're in, that He knows that. He knows our ups and our downs. He knows when we're at our strongest. He knows when we're at our weakest. God knows exactly where we're at, and He's working in us and through us, but He's walking beside us to help us each and every day. We know that from our salvation to the day that you and I enter in into eternity, God has designed to keep us growing, to keep us moving forward, making progress each and every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and it says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being," that's in motion there, "we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Forward progress is about spiritual growth in every single area of our life, from our understanding of God's word, our attitude, our character, our behavior, our decisions, our serving, our using our gifts and our talents, all of our relationships, our giving, how we handle controversy in life, how we handle offense and tragedy and even loss and all of life's difficult moments or whatever season we may be in, but also how we handle God's blessings upon our lives, His blessings of mercy and grace and victory and success as He walks along with us. Forward progress in your relationship with Christ, in your understanding of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, in being baptized by the Holy Spirit, in all of our daily spiritual disciplines, it is a must. Forward progress is a must if we are to grow up in our salvation, to really walk in the freedom that Christ has for us, and to experience God's power in our lives. And church, that's where we're at right now. We want to experience God's power, amen? We want to experience the power of His salvation, the power of the life that He gives us, the power of the gifts which flow through us. We want to experience the power of God, so not only do we continue to grow and receive His blessings upon our own lives and our own families, but also make a difference in the culture in which we live. We know that without forward progress, without any forward progress taking place in our lives, our spiritual life will soon fade away and eventually it will die. You see, your relationship with God, it is designed. It is designed. You are created to keep moving forward. Again, we look back at some of those scriptures and we also add to those. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "We will grow up in every way more and more like Christ, the whole body, healthy, growing, and full of love." You go over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Paul says, "We forget what lies behind." And what are we doing? We're pushing forward. We're straining forward. And we're pressing on towards the goal. Colossians 3:10, we put on that new nature of Christ. We're being renewed day by day as we learn to know our Creator and to become more like Him. Peter writes in chapter 2, verse 2, that like newborn babies, that we must crave pure spiritual milk, the Word of God, Christ, who He is within us, so that we will grow into a full experience of salvation. As I studied this week, I came across a quote from Maurice Lednecki. He was the president of Central Bible College for many years. He's been an ordained pastor with the Assemblies of God for over 50 years. He writes this, and I love it. It says, "With a new nature that is born of the Spirit, it seems ridiculous to even entertain the idea that spiritual growth would not occur. It will, however. It is a process. It is a lifelong process. No shortcuts, no special treatments, no excuses, just day-to-day consistency and following the steps of the Master." I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. Just day-to-day walking with our Master, walking with our Creator, walking with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, walking with the one who empowers us to live this life. We know that forward progress in our lives, it should be something that we expect, something that we pursue, and something that we certainly should achieve. If we'll think back about last week, we talked about Paul and how he stayed on course. We talked about the influence and value of forward progress in our lives. It cultivates passion. It illuminates the clarity of purpose in our lives. It strengthens involvement and courage and the boldness of others around us. It enhances that strong sense of fulfillment, and it also helps us keep in check as we give all the glory and praise to God for what He's doing in our lives. Today, just for the next few moments, I want to consider the thought: align your steps with your faith. As you move forward, we must learn to align our steps with our faith. The most significant element of achieving forward progress in our life is to keep our daily steps in alignment with our faith, what we truly believe. Now, you know what the word alignment means. It's arrangement in a correct or an appropriate position, or a position of agreement or alliance. When I hear the word alignment, I automatically think about our vehicles, our tires. You got a picture there of a vehicle getting a tire alignment. How many's had a tire alignment just recently in your vehicle? Anybody? All right, there's a couple of you. That is important to do. It is necessary and should be a part of standard vehicle maintenance. Now, I had to learn by a process, okay, because I had an old farm truck that I drove for years. 76 Chevrolet, two-tone, maroon and gray, long bed. The trim on the side had both been taken out. My dad took one side of it out by hitting a fence. I took the other side out by hitting a fence, okay? But it was a great truck. So when my dad finally said, son, this is yours. You can have it. This is the truck you're going to drive while you're in school. I absolutely loved it. Now, my dad was an incredible man, changed the oil in his vehicles, tried to keep his cars running. But as a teenager, man, I just took off and really didn't think about those type of things. Now, back in the day, I don't know if it still is. I don't think it is. But back in the day in Muldrow, we liked to circle town. Anybody ever circle town when you were young? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we had OC's drive-in at one end, and we had a Sonic and a Beacon. I mean, we were uptown. They were kind of the same thing, but we had both. And so we would circle, you know, around the Beacon. And then we'd come, and we'd circle around the Sonic. Then we'd drive down Main Street, you know, and then we'd get all the way down to OC's, and we'd turn around. And we'd do that for hours on end. You know, and back then, you know, vehicles didn't get the greatest gas mileage, but we would just do that, you know, hours on end. My truck, it had a name. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I named my truck. It was Betsy. That was the name of my truck, and all of my friends liked it. That truck was all over the place, in the pasture, in the fields, off-roading and different things. People would ride in the back. There's a picture in the yearbook. I should have brought that with me, a picture in a yearbook where I've got all my friends. You can't even see my truck. They're all standing in the back of the truck, and so it's kind of neat. So thought we were cool and everything else. You know how it is. You're just chilling, just circling town, you know, been good. Got your little stereo up, all your friends riding with you. I remember one particular time, I hadn't really been taking care of the regular maintenance that I should have probably on my vehicle, especially my front end. I knew my front end was having some issues, but it's a farm truck. All farm trucks have issues, okay? You just get the duct tape out and you just keep going, right? That's what you try to do. So anyway, I'm circling town, thinking I'm all cool. There's a lot of people there that night. I mean, you know, the roadway, it is filled. I'm coming around to Sonic. I actually pulled in, got us something to drink, pulled back out. Right when I went to take off, the whole front end of my truck just collapsed, you know, right there. Needless to say, I kind of ruined the moment for everybody for the next, you know, probably hour or so as we try to get my vehicle out of that. I just didn't take the proper care that I probably should have it. Now, that was a little bit more than just an alignment, but that was a part of it. Because regular vehicle maintenance, it is important. An alignment is important. We know that in order for a proper alignment to be achieved, that the suspension components and the angles, they've got to be measured and adjusted to get the proper movement. Now, the purpose of these adjustments is to do what? It's to reduce the tire wear and to ensure that your vehicle travels straight and true without pulling one side to another. You ever had a vehicle that was out of alignment and you just fought the steering wheel and you knew it was and you knew you had to get it repaired, you knew you had to do something with it, but you just kept holding off and you would literally be tired after driving because you've been trying to keep that thing between the center of the line. And of course, you can see there, you know, that's what happens when you don't have your vehicle with a true alignment on it. If it's really out of alignment, the constant pull, it's going to be wearing on you as you fight the steering wheel and you try to keep your car between the lines. If you never address and correct that issue in your car, it will just get worse. And eventually, you will not only blow out a tire, but potentially cause excessive and expensive damage to your vehicle, especially your front end. Now, let's kind of get back here to our spiritual lives. Obviously, the analogy makes a whole lot of sense. If our life, if our steps are out of line with our faith in God, we may be moving, but not in a direction that is going to achieve progress such as freedom, joy, and peace, and all of God's blessings He has planned for us. Trying to push forward in life without God puts you on a path of discouragement, a path of defeat, a path of destruction. You'll just be fighting against yourself. You'll be fighting against life issues. You'll be fighting against circumstances. You'll be exhausted. You'll be wore out. So it's important that as you move forward in your relationship with Christ, that your steps are lining up with what you believe. God's promises, God's touch, God's healing, God's power, God's clarity, God's purpose, God's wisdom, God's ways been fulfilled in and through your life. If you are aligned with God in such a way, you're going to move forward through life in a much better process. Now, when you, for a minute, and I really, I know most everyone here this morning has accepted Christ, but let me go here just for a second. I want you to consider your life without Christ. Without salvation, there's absolutely going to be no forward progress that is achieved. There's not going to be any progress that has any spiritual value in life or in death. You know, we can go to the scripture because the scripture really is very clear on this. I'll read from the message. Matthew 7, verse 13 says, "Do not look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention." If you go back and read that in the ESV or the NLT or the NIV or the King James Version, what is it telling us? That the road to destruction, the path to destruction is wide, but the road to Jesus Christ, it is narrow. And a lot of people are going to go these other directions and they're going to be out of line with God. But if you line your faith up with God, that's when you're truly going to be receiving real life. So without Christ in your life, forward progress in the way that I'm talking about it just will not be achieved. Now let's also consider another step, and that's the lukewarm Christian life. Saying you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but denying that truth by your actions is nowhere close to being aligned with God. Now you and I know, once again, Scripture does not mince its words. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, it talks about the culture in which we live in the last days. It says, "Understand this, that in these last days there's going to come times of difficulty. People are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of their money. They're going to be proud and arrogant and abusive. They're going to be disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and not loving good, treacherous and reckless and swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and some having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Scripture goes on to say to avoid such people. So there may be a lot of individuals. Now, not all of those may be proclaiming Christ, but it really is talking about a group of people that will be proclaiming Christ, but living in such a way, if your steps are not lining up with your faith, you're denying the true power of God that wants to be unleashed in your life. And I personally believe you're way off track and not even in a personal relationship with God. You go to Revelation chapter 3 and one of the letter to the churches. You know it well, the letter to Laodicea. It says, "This is a message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things that you do, and you're neither hot nor you are cold." Talking to the church, talking to the believers in Laodicea. "You're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you're lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold," what does the scripture say? "I will spit," or "I will spew." Some of your versions say, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now, that's a pretty strong word that's been given to us through the Holy Scripture. And what the Lord is revealing to us, without Christ in our life, we're certainly not going to be moving forward in progress with Him. And if we're living a lukewarm life, we're not doing anybody any good. And I would say this to you this morning. If you're here in this service and you're battling back and forth with your relationship with Christ and the relationship with the world, and you're trying to put on this good face and you're trying to put on this good front, not just for the people of church, but you're putting it on for your family and those around you, if that's the way you're really trying to live, you're not kidding anybody but yourself. God knows where you're at. And can I tell you, your family knows where you're at. Your church knows where you're at. And I'm gonna go out and even tell you this. The people around you, your pastor knows where you're at, because the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand what is happening in people's lives. We may not know it in detail, but can I tell you, if that's the way you're living, you're not doing yourself any good. God wants to get you back on track this morning. He's not going to condemn you this morning, but He's certainly going to reach out to you and say, it's time to get back on track, because right now you're on a path to destruction. You're on a path to really being defeated, not just defeated in your own life, but being defeated around you within your home, perhaps in your marriage, perhaps in your relationship, perhaps in the life around you. You're really on a path of defeat if you're trying to move forward without God really being leading you along the way in that alignment that He wants to have with you. So I give those first two things because I believe this morning in both services, someone needs to hear that. Because I believe there may be someone in this service, you're trying to move forward without Christ leading the way. Or you're trying to move forward saying Christ is leading the way, but that's really not the case. And if that's you, I believe God really wants to speak to you this morning and say, hey, why not today align yourself with where God wants you to be in the relationship that you have with him? Now, if you fall into any one of those two categories, I believe today's that day to be transparent. Run to God and say, God, I want change in my life today, and I want to have true forward progress take place. When our steps are out of alignment with our faith, not only do we struggle to move in the proper direction, we significantly increase the risk of further damage in and to our lives before we may even realize it. How many of us perhaps have that portion in our testimony where we were out of alignment with God? We were trying to move forward, yet as we did so, we were just causing further damage around us. And today that can be corrected. You've come to the right place today. You've come to the right place because God can help you correct what's going on in your life. God can help change what's happening in your heart and your mind. God can speak to you and God can help you get in alignment with him. And if you're falling there today, I believe today's your day to let God help you make it right. But this morning, there's also another area of alignment that I want to focus on for a few moments. And it is for a lot of people here, perhaps the majority, I believe. It is for those who are saved, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and those who desire to live for him. As we move forward in our spiritual walk, again, we should constantly be growing. Our understanding, our passion, our faith, our purpose, our spiritual gifts should be things that we embrace and we continue to move forward in. Again, coming out of that Vibrant series, coming out of that message that Pastor Chase presented to us about being gifted. God is doing a work in this local body of believers. And he wants you to rise up and to be able to pursue those things that he's placed within your lives. He wants you to use that gift and that talent. He wants you to use that service. He wants you to use what you have to offer. He wants you to continue to grow as individuals so you yourself can help this entire body of believers grow into where Christ wants us to be. You play a vital part in the life and the health of what takes place in this local body. The way you worship, the way you present yourself, the way you fellowship, the way you step out in faith and use your gifts, the way that when you walk out of here and you live your life, the way that you have conversations with others, the way that you are representing Jesus Christ, your daily growth in Christ is incredibly valuable to this body here as we move forward together with Christ's purpose. Now, I know, Pastor, you're putting some responsibility on us. Absolutely, because you are a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ should not drag you along. The body of Christ should have you as a part of them to help them grow so together you can move forward in a fluid motion. We shouldn't be dragging each other. We shouldn't fight with one another. We shouldn't be hurting one another. We should be encouraging one another and building each other. Part of that is not just by our words and what we say to each other or say about each other, but it's the way that we serve and the way that we use our gifts. Perhaps in this service, the Holy Spirit would move in a way that would prompt you to use one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to perhaps give a message. And I'm not saying do that. I'm saying I want you to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit would call you to do. If you did that, perhaps, it's not perhaps, it's going to be a blessing and an encouragement to someone else as they see the power of God move. That will not happen if we as a body of believers do not begin to step out in faith and use the gifts that God has placed inside of us. You hear the heart of your pastor? We don't just come and spectate. We come and participate. We come and connect our worship. Your worship is either going to inspire someone to worship or it's going to cause them to sit back and say, wow, maybe I should hold back too. Now, for some of us, it doesn't matter what everybody else is going to do. Maybe that should be all of us. We're going to worship God regardless, right? What I'm trying to encourage you here this morning is your personal growth, the way that you approach God, the way that you walk with God, the way that you hear from the Holy Spirit, the way that you are able to develop through that personal relationship with him is vitally important to what you offer as well to this body of believers. If we're doing that together and the church is healthy and the church is growing, what you're going to see is an incredibly many more people coming to know Christ and Christ's power at work. I could not help but go back to the forward progress of Peter's life. I know we looked at a lot of him in Vibrant, but he just stays on the forefront of my mind. When called, we know this about him. When called by the Lord, he immediately left the fishing industry and he began to follow Christ and the ministry that Christ had for him. Instead of fishing for actual fish, he became a fisher of men. His belief in Christ and his passion, when you study the life of Peter, it was second to none. His faith and his steps, they were in alignment at times, but often not when we're reading in those early moments. He wasn't so, which caused him much disappointment and grief. After you know, he has his failure, which we talked about in Vibrant, he has his failure. He's reinstated as a disciple later on after Christ is risen from the dead, risen from the grave, and there he cooks that breakfast and there on the shorelines, and he is reinstated as that disciple. You see a fresh alignment taking place. You see him starting to move in motion with Christ as he steps up and he takes a leadership role. And when we saw that he was baptized by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you now see him confident and bold as he moves ahead and stepping in perfect alignment with the faith that has been placed inside of him. I want you to go back just for a few moments. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. This is just following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, you see Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John, they're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple." Pastor Cody made reference to this a few weeks ago in his opening. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But verse 6, Peter says, "I have no silver and I have no gold, but what I do have, I give to you." And notice that next sentence. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood, he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let me read just a few more verses. Verse 11. "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people there ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. They were astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, and he began to say to them, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." Pretty bold and powerful words that he speaks to the people. Pretty awesome moment here. This is a changing moment, again, for the church. Now, you and I know that much growth would still take place in Peter's life and the disciples, as they would eventually break away from the tradition and the law and going to the temple, and they would begin to follow Christ under the terms of the new covenant. You will see that happen as they go through the book of Acts. But right here, right out the gate, from being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter steps ahead with an all-in faith. You see, what has happened to him in his life, being reinstated as a disciple with the mercy and the love of grace of God just being poured into him, and now being filled, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can see what's happening. There's an alignment that has taken place. And now Peter, his steps and his faith, his words, everything about him is aligning up with what God is doing in and through his life. I'll keep it simple this morning. Look at the results of that story. Look at what happens when Peter and John both together, we shouldn't leave him out, but Peter was kind of the lead role here. When you align yourself up with your faith and you step out in that faith, notice what happens. A man was healed, a testimony was established and shared, a community, those around, witnessed the power of God, a church was strengthened even more so, And if you'll keep reading on just a little bit, you see that Peter and John is arrested because of their words and because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. And that's when he makes that statement that they cannot help but speak that which has been placed inside of them. So we see here the result of this: Satan was left trembling in anger and in fear as he scrambled to rise up opposition against any further progress being achieved. Now, the first four we're probably all in on. We're like, yes, healing takes place. The second one, man, there's a testimony of what God can do. Boy, everybody wants to hear a good testimony of what God can do. The third one, a community witnesses the power of God. Not just the people of the church, but the community sees the difference. Man, that's what we're shooting for. A church was strengthened even more so. Hey, Pastor, let's stop right there. Let's not even add number five. But can I tell you, number five is why I believe some of us don't step out in the faith that God wants us to operate in. Because when Peter stepped out in faith in a powerful way, Satan was left trembling in anger and in fear as he scrambled to bring up that opposition. I wrote this down in my notes, and I know this is a big statement. And I know when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh, let's not go there because I don't want any battles. Can I tell you, you're in a battle every day. You're in a battle for your faith every day. If Satan isn't scrambling to stop us, there must not be any forward progress in our lives. Think about that for a moment. If really not anything's been achieved, or you really don't have a, not, and I'm not wishing an attack upon you, I'm certainly not doing that. But I know that as believers in Christ, as Christians who have a strong faith in God, as Christians who believe Jesus as the risen Lord and Savior, as Christians who believe the absolute truth of God's word, when we line our steps, when we line our voice, when we line where we're going in life, what we're doing, our actions, our demeanor, our character, our understanding, when we base everything we know about life on who Christ is and we align ourselves with him, can I tell you, the attack is going to be on. Because why is Satan trembling in fear? Because the more you step in faith, the more victory you're going to have in your life. Why is he angry? Because he knows he's already been defeated. And the more you line up your faith with Jesus Christ in your personal life, in your family, and with those around you, the more that you begin to line your faith up with where God is taking you in your daily walk, can I tell you, you're making a difference for the kingdom of heaven. Not only are you receiving the blessing of that, but those around you are receiving the blessing of that. Because those top four things, that's going to happen. Yes, Satan's going to be angry. He's going to be trembling in fear. I can just feel it in my spirit that the warfare that'll begin to take place. But no matter how intense that may get, you're always going to be victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let that last statement scare you, but let it encourage you. Just because our adversary scrambles to cause opposition in our lives, he is still defeated, and his name is far less powerful than the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Greater is he, you know the scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Forward progress is more than and being saved and more than moving just past a lukewarm life. It is those plus achieving even the greater things that John talks about as you move forward in the extraordinary and empowering life God has given you through the Holy Spirit. Let me give you the point here. When we align our steps with our faith, forward progress is going to be achieved, I believe, in all areas of our life. From our character, our daily decisions, words, behavior, relationships, career, our finances, and most importantly, the purpose that Christ has placed in us. You see, church, I believe we're at a point where it's kind of time to have a fresh alignment. A fresh alignment in where we're at with Christ. A fresh alignment in how we're moving forward with him and the progress that we're making in our lives. And I don't want to make progress so I can boast about what I've done. I want to boast in who Jesus Christ is and what God is doing in my life. Thank God we're not where we're at when we first got saved. Amen? If you're still where you're at when you first got saved, something right's not taking place, right? You're really out of alignment. I mean, your car is driving down the road like this. You're trying to get here, and your wheels are just driving like this. Right? I YouTubed a few cars driving down the road, and it's kind of funny watching a car trying to stay in between the lines. You know, their tires are going this way, and their car is trying to go this way. It's kind of a funny thought. If you're at the same place the first couple years of where you got saved, you really don't know much more scripture. You really don't even know. If I was to ask you, as when you first get saved and you haven't read the Word of God, you may not really know where the books of the Bible are. But if you've been serving the Lord for any amount of time, you ought to kind of have a general idea of where the books of the Bible are. That's a pretty simple thought, right? When I say the Gospels, you ought to be able to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? When we talk about the epistles of Paul, you ought to be able to say, well, let's talk about Thessalonians and Colossians and Philippians and the scripture there, that the letters to the churches. You ought to kind of be able to know where to go, right? I know that's a simple example. But what you know should increase the knowledge of God, the scripture of God, the promises of God, that peace within you should increase. You know, when you first get saved and you hear that peace, there is that peace, there's that joy, there's that excitement, there's that passion. And then life comes along and you have all these types of issues, and that can be wearing with you. And if you're not growing and making progress, as that wears on you, you're going to kind of stray with where God wants you to be. You know, perfect example, maybe you have tragedy in your life, or maybe you have a very strong, difficult situation in your life. Maybe you're going through a really hard season. If you've not made any forward progress, you're still going to pretty much react like you always react before Christ. It's going to look closer to that. The more forward progress you have, you're going to be like this. It's still hard. It's still tough. It still hurts. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it, but I'm not going to go any other side. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to get scared. I'm not going to get worried. I'm not going to cry in defeat, but I'm going to rise up and I'm going to keep walking in the direction that Christ wants me to walk, because in life or death or whatever God has for me, my faith is in Christ. I'm not going to allow this world to pull me off the center that I'm supposed to be with Christ. I want to stay aligned with my faith in all areas. Again, from my character, the way I handle things, but also in using the gifts that God has placed within our lives. As we get ready to pray this morning, I simply wrote, it's time in this church to align ourselves with where God wants us to be. And it's time for us to bind Satan and to proclaim Jesus. It's time to put the past behind and push full steam ahead. It's time to lay down our hurts, and it's time to be healed today. It's time to cast off the brokenness, and it's time to be restored. It's time to quit trying to run on empty and be filled with the power of God. Remember, when it comes to alignment in life, what needs to be adjusted is what Christ needs to adjust in us. Just know, when it comes to that alignment, don't be one of those that walk into the garage and say, okay, this is what you need to do. You know what I mean? You're a mechanic before you ever get there, and you're trying to tell the mechanic what to do. We don't do that with God, because we don't know better with God. God always knows better than us, right? He knows what type of alignment we need. We don't go to God and say, okay, God, here's what I need you to do. No, let God speak to you and allow him to do in your life what he knows what is best. The most important step that I believe that we can take right now as believers in our families and as a church is to begin to really align our decisions, our steps, our choices, who we are daily with our faith. So I say this, how about it? Are you ready to be in line with where God wants you to be in your life? Amen. I would say to this particular group of people, are you using what God has placed inside of you? Are you walking daily in his will and purpose for your life? Or are you fighting each day? You fighting the steering wheel each day? Or are you in line with where God wants you to be? Now, as I say that, in my mind, it's going a lot of different places, because it's a pretty broad statement. Because some of you, you may be fighting your faith when it comes to healing. Some of you may be fighting your faith just because of the character, because of the daily culture that you have to embrace around you. And it seems like the culture's rubbing off more on you than what Christ is. So you find yourself acting like the world, talking like the world, looking like the world, and you're fighting that steering wheel, trying to be in line with where God wants you to be, but you're fighting it. Some of you, it comes back to using the gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that's been placed inside of you. The gift of giving. The gift of encouragement. Those service gifts of using what God has placed within your life. There should never be a ministry in this church that has to be asking for more help. They should have to ask one time, and it should be filled. It should be filled. a church with over 1,000 people coming through its doors every month, maybe not in every service, obviously, but every month, should never have to keep an announcement out there for the office to be filled because somebody in the body of Christ. Now, why I'm not getting onto your church. I didn't even have that in my notes. That's just coming to me right now. Amen. The church like this, who strongly believes in the power of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit, should never have to think in their mind, man, when's the last time there was a move of God in church? That should be something that's pretty common, right? Because we're using the gifts that God has placed inside of us. So this morning, I hope you hear your pastor's heart. I'm encouraging you to keep moving forward, but as you do, move forward with progress and get aligned with where God wants you to be in your life. No matter where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going, stay aligned with God and keep seeing that progress. No matter your age, right? No matter your age. When I'm as wise and elder as many of you are here today in this service, I pray that I'm just making just as much forward progress as I did when I first came out the gate. I want to keep being used by God. Amen.